Welcome back to the program. The first hour is brought to you by Thomas Bax at American Family Insurance. Give them a call at 314-298-7770. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the lead baseball writer for KMOV.com. You can follow him on Twitter at the JJ Bailey. JJ Bailey, how are you?
I'm excellent. How are you boys doing today?
Doing fantastic. This Yadier Molina, Mike Matheny beef, I told someone this earlier today, it is a gift from the sports gods because this Cardinals team really isn't worth talking about other than this high school spat. But what do you think is the origination of this? Is it just coincidence that Molina's acting like this with Carson Kelly called up from the minors? Or do you think there's some kind of deep-rooted rift between the manager and his catcher?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that there's a deep rift between them. I mean, they have a pretty solid history going back to Mike Matheny's playing days. I think really the root cause of this is frustration. You know, I think, you know, Yadier Molina is an incredibly competitive guy, a very passionate guy. We've seen in the past, you know, he takes playing time very, very seriously and personally. And I think it's been a frustration, a compounding frustration, not only having the season that this team is having, but in the run-up to the All-Star break, there were a great many Memphis Redbirds in the lineup. And, you know, you could be forgiven for thinking that maybe some of the veterans like Molina were starting to feel like if this is the run that's going to determine kind of the future of the club and the future of some of our careers, we should be in these games. And I think that's probably some of it. And then, you know, obviously his comments were pretty candid that he didn't want anyone in the world to think that he was tired, and that if he's tired, he'll tell you about it. Then, you know, what followed with the Oquendo post, you know, it's hard to read into that, you know, beyond what you can tell, that Yadier Molina is pretty aware that anything he puts on Instagram right now is going to be heavily scrutinized. And to put that photo up with a coach that has not been with the Major League team for a couple of seasons now, especially with, you know, Oquendo having been kind of the old guard. When Matheny got his coaching staff together, really Chris Maloney was the only one that was a holdover from a previous regime. When he started 2017, all those guys were Mike's guys, with Mabry and Miller and Schilt up there. So, you know, it's going to catch people's eye that, you know, this is a coach that has been around for a couple of years and Molina's saying that he missed him. But I think the root cause is still frustration. You know, you don't see this stuff when people are winning. And so I wouldn't read too much into it that they have a deep and irreparable personal tear in their relationship. But I think some of the frustrations that Molina might have had as a player and as an employee are just kind of coming to the surface because this team just can't seem to get anything positive to hang on to.
So do you think this is eventually going to subdue, or do you think that you know, maybe DeWitt or Mozeliak is going to have to step in and kind of, you know, broker the peace?
Well, I think that, you know, I'd be confident in putting my money down on the idea that some of those conversations have already taken place. I think anytime the media is acting as the megaphone for a fight between or a disagreement between the manager and the player, the front office is not going to probably let that go. They're probably going to come in and have this conversation. I would think, you know, Molina is a professional. You know, Matheny is a professional. They're not going to let this continue back and forth. You know, this isn't, you know, New York. The Cardinals, I don't think, would abide an ongoing public rift between the franchise catcher and the manager. I think a lot of that will get settled behind closed doors. And if it hasn't been already, it's certainly going to be mediated by Mozeliak and other members of the front office because the Cardinals, this is anti what the Cardinals have cultivated as their image, and they will not let this go on for very long.
Yeah, the past 4 days for the Cardinals have been really peculiar. I mean, it's something completely unfamiliar with the franchise. You had the whole beef between Molina and Matheny on Friday night and Molina posting that thing on Instagram. And then you have Matheny and his comments about the fans and calling out the fans in the Post-Dispatch and Ben Hockman's column. The trade deadline came and went. They didn't make a move. And then the whole thing with Outsports.com and the being denied media credentials to cover the Christian Day that Lance Berkman was speaking at. So like the past 4 days for the St. Louis Cardinals have been really weird.
They've been days that a lot of other franchises have gone through and the Cardinals are getting kind of catching up to everybody all at once. And I think this is all compounding that term from before, is the frustration. You know, the disagreements born of frustration. No moves were made to improve this team or sell off any assets. That's going to make the frustration compound. The outsports thing is, I think the biggest mistake the franchise made on that one is trying to understand how this might be interpreted. They have denied credentials to Vox Media, SB Nation for years and years and years.
Yeah.
They, you know, local TV writers, you know, can have trouble getting credentialed as well. So, Outsports isn't the only one fighting for a credential and not getting it, but anybody with some foresight could take a look at this and say, you know, from the outside, this can be read in a way that we might not have intended. I just think that all of it is adding up to a lot of hair standing up on necks and a lot of short tempers.
And the way to curtail all of that is to do away with all those nights. Don't have a Christian day at the ballpark. Don't have a Pride night. Don't have any of that. Just have the typical giveaways and Star Wars night and call it a day. You're already getting 3.3 million people. I don't think there's any kind of reason why to really entice them to go to the ballpark.
A case can be made that another way to fix some of this is to have MLB take an actual comprehensive look at its credentialing system.
That too, yeah.
A lot of these requests are not handled by the local affiliates. They're handled by MLB. And stuff like this happens when there's blanket decisions made on, you know, if you want to have people that are going to cover specific nights, understand that that might be a draw for certain publications and have some contingencies in plan or in place. You know, now you got a national story because nobody thought ahead that maybe someone might cover just a particular night at a ballpark. So I think, unfortunately, we know that probably won't happen. The gears of larger organizations turn very, very slowly. You'll probably see no theme nights. That'll be the response.
And that's the way I would handle it, too. I would just, you know what? We're not going to make everybody happy, so we're not going to make anybody happy and just do away with all of it. How surprised were you yesterday that the trading deadline came and went and the Cardinals did not make one move?
I was pretty surprised. I have said in the weeks coming up that it wouldn't shock me if they didn't do much. But what was really strange and caught me off guard was I did not expect the entire day to come and go without a report or a whisper of a deal in the works, or any of it. It was radio silence from dawn until the deadline, which did surprise me because there were smaller moves they could have made, which I kind of, you know, that's kind of Mosellock MO and the mental improvements. But to see absolutely nothing was kind of shocking because I figured there'd be even a reliever or maybe stocking up some arms, you know, in the lower levels of the system so that you have more freedom to trade some of your higher-level assets, but really nothing. But at the same time, they shouldn't make a deal just to have made one, and if they weren't getting asks for Lance Lynn that were really worth moving him, it's really hard to say, well, they should have traded him anyway. You know, they still got him on a qualifying offer, and they'll either get a draft pick or a guy for, you know, 1 year for $18 million. So, I mean, it didn't surprise me that they weren't able to move some bigger pieces, but complete silence, not even a rumor, not even a Rosenthal deal developing bomb, nothing.
Yeah.
That was kind of shocking.
Well, and another thing.
Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I mean, like, if they would have traded Lance Lynn, they would have been like, okay, so now we know that going into the rotation next year is either going to be Luke Weaver or it's going to be Jack Flaherty. So they would have, you would at least have some kind of idea of what direction this team is going. Had they traded, you know, some of the outfield prospects or some of the current outfielders, I know they did try to trade Stephen Piscotty to the Oakland A's. It was him and either Jack Flaherty and Luke Weaver, and I think another prospect to the A's for Sonny Gray, and Oakland decided they liked the Yankees prospects better. And they were trying to do Stephen Piscotty a favor as well because he's from the Bay Area, mother with ALS. He could, you know, be back home and spend more time with her. So I think they were trying to do a very noble thing regarding that. But, I mean, if they were to maybe cut down on some of the abundance of prospects that they have in pitching and in the outfield, you would at least get an idea of what direction this team is going. We still don't have that.
Yeah, and I think that's what was most confounding about it, is given Mozeliak's public statements in New York that was saying it's kind of hard to look at this and say that we should be playing for right now, and saying that there's, you know, frustration and things need to be shaken up, you would expect that's almost like calling your shot. And he did say back in June that he imagined some activity around the deadline. And so, you know, if they make no move, that's kind of strange. But having him almost explicitly say his stated goal was to kind of rearrange some of the pieces on the board and then not have it done, that's what really, I think, frustrated a lot of fans. And that deal about Piscotty possibly to Oakland, and that came out the next day.
Yeah.
And so it's difficult to know how close that really was. It's difficult to know, you know, where that information all came from, and how, if that was really being pressed hard, if that was just a trial balloon. And that's really why I think the fans were angry. And to play devil's advocate, like I said, you don't trade away quality assets just to show that you are going to make a move. But when you've kind of developed the expectation that something is going to change, either this season's going to be a wash and you're going to start building toward the future, or you're about to line up some bigger guns to maybe try and catch the Cubs, then to have it be nothing, the fans are going to understandably react to that.
J.J. Bailey from KMOV.com joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at the J.J. Bailey, your colleague at KMOV.com, and our colleague here at 590 The Fan, Brendan Schaefer. I thought he had a really great tweet yesterday when he said that, well, now that you failed to, you know, improve the team in any capacity at the trading deadline, what you've done is you put all the pressure on improving the team in the offseason. What kind of free agents do you think that they can target in the offseason?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for. That's the issue. I kind of outlined them based on need, and now you don't know what the need is going to be. That's what I think has also complicated this, because I've looked ahead to 2018 a lot and seen just the sheer amount of talent that's out there, and guys like Machado and Harper and Andrews could be available on the option. Even Kershaw could opt out, though I don't know why he would. I mean, there's a ton of talent. Matt Adams is going to be a free agent if you want him back. That appears to have kind of been a misstep. But the problem is, I don't even know how you start lining up targets for free agency, because you haven't given yourself, you have all the same problems you have. Do you need pitching, or are you going to try and move those guys in an off-season trade? I mean, really what you have to be doing is start finding cornerstone position players that improve your lineup on a nightly basis. Anybody that can solve that problem for you should jump to the top of the list, because they have a rotation. They have Adam Wainwright for one more year. Alex Reyes coming back. They have a lot of good arms down there. They might get Lance Lynn. They might keep the whole gang together if he accepts the qualifying offer.
So
you need bullpen help, and you need quantifiable improvement in the offense. You need if Jed Jerko's your third baseman, okay, then commit to that, but then you need to go find yourself the shortstop to build your team around, or the left fielder to build your team around. And then once you solve that, now go get relievers. Relievers are just easier to find, so I'd start with the offense.
And I mean, what they need to do is just put up the diamond, and who they have, you know, right now as their starters, would be like, okay, are we comfortable moving in the next 3 or 4 years with Matt Carpenter as our first baseman? If not, okay,
right,
then we need a trade, and we need to either try to find a first baseman, or we need to try to find somebody who, like, maybe we can, if we're going to hold on to Stephen Piscotty, maybe we can move Stephen Piscotty to first base and then find a left fielder or find a right fielder. I mean, it, like I said, it seems like they just can't make up their mind on who they want to hold on to. They kind of remind me of my 2-year-old niece, who loves to sleep with every single stuffed animal that she has. She takes every single one of them into her crib. And my sister's finally like, look, you can't take all of these in there with you. You got to let, you know, one of these Minnie Mouses stay outside the crib. Otherwise, yeah, you're not going to fit. So eventually they're going to have to do that. They're going to be like, okay, well, if we're going to hold on to Lance Lynn. So we got Lance Lynn, we got Carlos Martinez, we got Alex Reyes, we got Mike Leake, we got Michael Wacha, and then we still have Jack, you know, we still got Jack Flaherty, we still got Luke Weaver. You know, how long are we going to be able to keep them down in the minor leagues? They're going to be ready to go. You know, who do we trade? Who, like, maybe do we trade Rosenthal and we put Michael Wacha, and he's going to be our closer. I mean, it seems like right now we don't have, or at least we don't know what kind of direction they're going in.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of the positions on the diamond are manned right now by, well, this guy's hitting the best, so let's find him a spot. You know, Jed Jerko's the everyday third baseman because you needed his bat, and that was the place you could put him every day. Paul DeYoung's out here starting at shortstop regularly because he's hitting well, and I don't think the team intended to bring him up and make him an everyday shortstop, but there he is now. You know, Colton Wong has played second base much better this year. His offense was better this year. You know, he had the injuries. But, okay, that's the only guy who a year ago was penciled in as the starting second baseman, and that was the plan.
Yeah.
You know, Randall Grichuk essentially struggled his way down to, he lost his spot to Tommy Pham. He wasn't going to be your everyday left fielder. You know, and you've mixed and matched in the outfield because you've had Stephen Piscotty hurt. They have so many guys in positions that are just kind of there because of consequence. And I think what helps define the not only the lineup, but also what kind of talent you need to fill the lineup is Jed Drickel your everyday third baseman? Commit. Is Matt Carpenter your everyday first baseman? Commit. No more moving him to first and second and everything else.
I agree.
You gotta commit to these guys at these spots, and then you know, okay, if I want, I need a home run hitter, who do we got out there at a position that we can go acquire that can be our bopper in our lineup? Because now we're not going to try and acquire somebody and move three positions just to fit him into the lineup. But that's the problem. They have too much overlap. They have too much personnel overlap.
How much do you think they regret the Dexter Fowler contract? Now, I love Dexter Fowler. I love the fact that he's on the team, but he's having a very inconsistent year, lots of injuries. He's not exactly playing great center field, and he doesn't really want to play anyplace else. He's okay with moving up and down the batting order, but he doesn't want to play anyplace other than seeing number 8 next to his name. But how much do you think they regret that Dexter Fowler contract, considering it's 5 years and $82
million? I think to regret, it would have to be a foregone conclusion. I think right now there'd be understandably some hand-wringing over this. I think it's too early to tell how much they regret it, because if he plays three great years after this, then it was still a good sign. But right now, given what he did in spring and how different the lineup looked and just the possibilities he offered them to be able to move personnel in the outfield and trade some of those young outfielders, all of that cushion is gone. Also, Matt Carpenter's inability to hit anywhere but first makes the idea of having him as your spark plug lineup topper, that idea is gone. And he's been able to hit some home runs, and when he's healthy, he's an asset to have, but he was a problem solver when you got him. And I think the problem now is he's the problem creator, not intentionally. It's just that, where do you hit him? And if you're going to play him in center, okay, but if he's hurt so often, how can you trade any of your depth, because you don't know if your five-year center fielder is going to have to only play about 100 games a year. So I think that's the biggest regret right now, is the money is the money. They have the money to eat a contract like that. It's just that he was supposed to make decisions easier, and it's just been one more complication.
And then maybe 2 years from now, he's going to accept the fact that, you know what, maybe I have kind of lost a step. And then, you know, let's say they do hold on to someone like a Max Sierra or a Harrison Bader. He's going to be like, yeah, I'm not as fast as those guys anymore. I'm willing to concede center field, and I'll go ahead and I'll play left, or I'll go ahead and I'll play right.
Yeah, and I think that he was signed to play center field, and if you're a position, you've been in the league as long as he have, you know, that's my spot. Someone's going to have to take it from me. And right now, injury is taking it from him. And I think part of what fueled those comments was, look, I'm still trying to establish myself as the player I know I can be on this team and in front of this fan base. I'm not ready to just throw in the towel and move to left. I still got good games in me. Just let me get my feet under me. Unfortunately, he's not been able to get them under there. But I would say that if you're staring down guys like Bader or Sierra with the kind of speed and range they have, and you're north of 31, 32, 33, then I think that's a different equation. But right now, he is still probably the best center fielder. Tommy Pham's pretty reliable defensively, but Fowler's got a little bit more length and a little bit more experience out there. And so I think that right now on the roster, it's hard to say that Dexter Fowler's wrong, that he should be replaced every day in center field, because the candidate, I don't know who it is.
JJ,
If Fowler's healthy.
JJ Bailey joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at the JJ Bailey. First hour of this program is brought to you by Thomas Bax at American Family Insurance. Give him a call at 314-298-7770. I think this next month for the Cardinals, I think is going to be very interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of attendance they have at Busch Stadium, too, because I'm trying to remember who it was that wrote it for Viva Albertos that basically said that if they don't make some kind of wholesale changes at the trade deadline, or even at the non-waiver trade, if it kind of shows like they don't care, and if they don't care, why should we? So why should we go to the ballpark?
Well, the only counter-argument to that is, as long as the division is single digits, within, you know, 6-7 games, people are still going to go. There's a whole lot of hope out there that they can still win this division.
Do you have that hope, though? I think we might have lost JJ. He's still there? We'll see if we can get JJ Bailey back. Sound like he was driving, so maybe he drove through a tunnel. But I think that if this Cardinals team continues to struggle, you're going to see a lot of empty seats at Busch Stadium, kind of like you did on Sunday. And Sunday, that was a competitive game against a team that's a pretty good team, the Arizona Diamondbacks, and it was not hot on Sunday. It was beautiful weather outside, great day to be at the ballpark, and saw a lot of empty seats in those stands. A lot of empty seats. We got JJ back? No? All right. JJ, we're going to let you go if you're listening. We appreciate your insights and your thoughts as always, sir, and we'll look forward to having you on again soon. Actually, yep. That's probably him. Yep. That sounds like it. How dare you hang up on me, sir?
I just assumed you hung up on me.
it was Giamatti. Giamatti,
you're like, that's enough of this.
Yeah. Well, every single time I tell Giamatti that we book you, he just rolls his eyes and goes, "Really? Seriously?" That's what he does. So yeah, for some reason, he just doesn't like you. He's got this. You got this whole Molina Matheny beef going on with JJ Bailey, don't you, Giamatti?
For the next time, you're potentially in studio. That's not true.
I'm watching your Instagram like a hawk.
So, like, we were talking about the attendance at Busch Stadium in August should this team continue to struggle. And you think that as long as they're still kind of within striking distance of winning the division, you don't think attendance is going to be an issue?
No, I think if the division is within a few games, even 8 or 9 games, I think people are still going to show up. You know, hope springs eternal in baseball fans' hearts. And if the Cubs go out here and drop both these series to Arizona and Washington, and the Cardinals win both series against the Brewers and Reds, all of a sudden you got a race again. Even if it doesn't, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to be a long race, I think they're not going to have too much trouble. They broke an attendance record the other night. I think people will still show out as long as it's, you know, if it's 17 and a half games like it was last year, you can forget it because this wild card's not going to happen.
Do you think that it was almost detrimental to the team that they're still kind of lingering around like a stale fart in this division? Had that been like, you know, 10 games out and no shot at the division and no shot at the wild card, do you think that maybe we saw some moves yesterday?
I think the threshold for accepting less than optimal deals would definitely be lower for them had that been the case. But I think the assessment of the team that you and I have right now, I don't think it's that far off from what the front office was looking at. You know, Mavilla's comments made it pretty clear. He's not really buying this team wholeheartedly as, you know, just one step away, you know, finally get it all going and they'll take the division. But I think, if this was a 10-game race, I think there would have been at least some smaller moves because those are a little easier to get done and a little easier to swallow because you still are looking at it like, man, if the Cubs, you know, get a couple injuries or something, I'm going to look like a fool.
Yeah.
If we trade away our season 4.5 games out of the division. So I think that probably was the difference, or at least in part some of the difference, because it's, you know, even if you don't really believe it, you're awful close to go ahead and pull the plug on this season if it means making trades that you don't really feel 100% on. So I think if you pull the plug, it's because you got Lance Lynn and you got a great package for him. I don't think you pulled deals, and so I don't think they did. I think,
I think we're losing him again, aren't we?
I hope not.
Okay.
Giamatti again?
Yeah. Man, he just can't stand you. Giamatti, what did JJ ever do to you, man? Did he hit on your woman or something?
No.
But the thing that, I understand not wanting to give up the division this year, you know, especially when you're so close. But I'm trying to look at this more of a long-term thing. Like, okay, how's this team going to be next year and the year after that and the year after that? And I just don't want them to get any kind of false confidence. Kind of like what the Rams had with Jeff Fisher. Everybody kind of knew that Jeff Fisher was a little bit of a bum coach, but he would, you know, he would win a couple of games that he had no business winning, and the team would look pretty good. You're like, you know what? Maybe this team is on the right track. Let's give them, you know, let's get a good draft in. Let's give them another training camp and see if they could take another step forward next year. Do you really see this team? Well, let's say they kind of do convince themselves that, you know what? No, this is the team we're going to move forward with. I mean, next year, do you think they're going to be competitive again? And when I mean competitive, like they have a real chance of winning the division and going on and maybe the LCS in the World Series?
Not with the current personnel, no. And that's the advantage of baseball. You know, in the NFL, 16 games, so every win is magnified.
Sure.
With baseball, you accumulate so much data that it's very, very hard to argue. And we've talked about the trend. You know, each year, the team finishing worse and worse and worse. And, you know, last year missing the playoffs, this year very possibly not even really in the hunt for the playoffs. And I don't think there's any delusions in the front office that they're just one little piece away or like it was just bad luck. This has been trending this way for some time, and this season in particular should prove that this personnel is not going to compete for this division against the Cubs, and the Brewers are going to get better, not worse, and the Pirates have been hanging around for the better part of 4 years now. This team is not a perennial contender. There are changes that must be made. So I don't think them not trading anybody was any delusions of grandeur that this team is better than it's playing. I just think that you're still too close to tank the season without getting enough in return to do so.
Yeah, but
no, I don't think anybody in the front office is used this team as a sleeping bear.
Okay, but I mean, I still don't understand the silence though. Yesterday, like, they didn't do anything to make this team kind of like to give you any kind of idea of how this team is going to be shaped going forward without any kind of move. Like, okay, we've got too many outfielders. Well, let's trade a couple of outfielding prospects that we have that we think that we can live without and maybe get something back in return, draft picks, something. Like, you're not getting any kind of idea of what this team is shaping out to be. That's the thing that I don't understand. I knew they weren't going to be able to solve all their problems yesterday with a couple of moves unless Mozeliak just, you know, goes Kaiser Soze and just, you know, find some way to get, you know, Giancarlo Stanton and Manny Machado and, you know, oh, yeah, we'll go ahead and we'll take Justin Verlander, too, off your hands. I mean, he wasn't going to do anything like that. If he did, it'd be a miracle. But I'm just saying, like, they didn't make any kind of move to, like, you know, okay, well, we know who their outfielders in the future are going to be. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, and that's where the frustration comes in, is lack of clarity. Part of the problem with doing the deal is you got to have somebody on the other end that's willing to give you an equitable return. And I think part of the reason that yesterday, albeit the Dodgers made a lot of moves, there weren't, you know, Darvish was the only really big move. You know, Gray going to the Yankees wasn't that surprising. That had been sort of a foregone conclusion, barring any last-minute, you know, top-rope offers. I think part of this was some of these guys got moved weeks prior to the deadline, and that set price points for owners and gave them weeks to think about how they would value it. You know, when Quintana moves, that gives everybody some time to reflect and say, okay, well, then what do I want from my guy? Because if that's the new market price, that's what they're going to be asking. And so I think that also kind of affected some of these deals as you're trying to close them in the final hours of the deadline. People had plenty of time to set their ledgers. And it's possible that maybe Mozeliak didn't push hard enough, but there's also possible that the guy on the other end of the phone wasn't going to budge.
Yeah.
And wasn't going to make a deal that was worth it. I mean, these guys are still valuable. Cost control talent is the number one, you know, piece of equity you can have in baseball. And to give it up, you got to get something. And maybe he should have lowered his ask a little bit, but he'd have to, if he does that, he has to prove why. And I think this was probably pretty hard for a guy like Mozeliak to be pushing these deals, because plenty of owners could sit. I mean, you heard the Orioles talking about it and the Marlins talking about it, that they wanted to be blown away, that, you know, they needed to be wowed to even, you know, really pick up the phone. These guys were sitting there and holding talent and just basically holding it for ransom. And so at a certain point, you just pull back your guns and maybe try again in the offseason while you also have free agency to play with.
J.J. Bailey, we appreciate your time as always, sir. I'm sorry that Giamatti hates your guts. I'll talk to him during the commercial break. I'm not sure what went down, but I'll get to the bottom of it and I'll send you a text.
Yeah, please let me. You know what? Just post it on Instagram.
That's what I'll do. All right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
All right, you have a good one.
You too. That is J.J. Bailey, lead baseball writer for KMOV.com. You can follow him on Twitter at the J.J. Bailey. Why do you hate him so much, Giamatti? What do you do to you?
Usually when callers get off the air, I usually say, thanks for hopping on. You have a good night. He hung up on me.
Well, see, that's what it is. He's rude then, I guess. He just hangs up on you. The first hour of the program is in the books. It's been brought to you by Thomas Bax at American Family Insurance. Give him a call at 314-298-7770. Hour number two coming up next with Howard Balzer from BalzerFootball.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.